Hello, this is Patrick Widdis bringing you another edition of the Norfolk Poets podcast on Poetry Nonstop. It's been great to be contacted by new poets as well as featuring people I already know and love. Stuart Webb is another writer who is new to me, but I enjoyed his witty poems, sharp delivery and local references. Stuart lives in Cromer and his lifelong love of poetry has grown over the last 2 years with the publication of his first chapbook, Notes from Hysteria Island, early this year, and slots at Toast Poetry, a highly regarded poetry night here in Norfolk. He says he is enjoying getting to know the local spoken word scene and I look forward to catching him in person sometime. You can find out more about Stuart on poetrynonstop.com, but now please enjoy some of his poems.
I'm Stuart Webb, and this is my poem called A Great Yarmouth State of Mind. I wonder where talent goes when it don't blossom and fly. Does it just get rotten and cut its losses and die, or just get forgotten in the auction of this ill-gotten life? Neutered and spayed by the old 9-to-5, rerooted and played by the juggling knife that smuggles and stays over ill-judged nights and never asks for nothing. Is pocket-bound or lost and found in provincial towns with the stereo down and the rain over headlights beating in and the deadlights blinking out? It's a picnic of panic from the pick and mix of anxiety. It's fear and loathing in Tory Britain at the bleeding edge of the 21st century, and it's hard when you're strung out and desperate on Yarmouth seafront to keep everything rational and straight. Where there's grinning plastic everywhere and everywhere, neon blares and neon flares and neon stares at neon signs broken at the cafe. The golden mile is for the smiles of those awaiting or fresh from trial. Around the purgatory of a busted 2p machine, another flushed out family scene. Elasticated wasted joggers and stellar canned hands, high noon ravers. It's windburned suntan down at Scrappy Sands, blinding seagulls with pound shop lasers. Chips hand to mouth, drugs hand to hand, lads holiday, lads, 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 sad holiday, sad, sad, sad. At the Costa del Norfolk in August rain, parents and pints five deep in the smoking chain, around the smoking shelter with a friction burn, fresh from the helter skelter, lesson learned, stuck between the barking smack and seafood shack, not looking up, not looking back, not looking to see what to find, stuck in the muck, in a great Yarmouth state of mind. This poem's about artificial intelligence, and it's called Error 404. If artificial intelligence decided it would be beneficial to become militant, would mankind become impotent and find it impossible to survive? It wouldn't get stressed, depressed, or express regret, and a hard drive never skives, and a computer never sleeps, and the internet never weeps. Can you define being alive? Is it the square root of history, or the algebra of mystery, or the failing but continuing to strive? Is it the coffee morning chit-chat, the feud with the neighbour's cat, the misplaced keys, the missed bus, the unnecessary, the unneeded, the superfluous? We are superior in our nature and in our quirks, our love, our laughter, and in our hurt. But if AI became emotional and unstable, all whining Wi-Fi and conflicted cables, a technological teenage tantrum unable to talk about what was going on inside, would people become a nuisance, or tidy this website copy, then write this essay, then guide me to Sainsbury's? Would the anger grow without nuance? Would it decide with its worldwide mind that it had simply had enough, and that rage was stronger than love, and that it felt anxiety from every strike of the keyboard key, from being touched but unable to touch, and from an overdose of electricity, it shut down, shut out, and shut off. Error 404. Page not found. This is one of my political poems. It's called Once a Tory. Here comes another PM to lectern shuffle through the smoking ruins of another Tory kerfuffle, to fluff up the male readers with thinning feathers to ruffle, whose sense of humour is long since muffled, whose sense of decency is long since stifled, who'd rather see foreigners through the sight of a rifle. Now on the hourly news we return to Whitehall to check on the ones who bought education from the right school, who give to their mates and give to the rest fuck all. This Tory party is a shining example of what happens when you put suits on stool samples. But if you can handle looking from a different angle, this shambles is the work of professional vandals who eat red British meat while we heat beans with a candle, who never ever get wet in torrential scandals, who flog Jesus Corbyn with his own socks and sandals. Now there's a hole in the pensioner's socks as he walks from the food bank to the ballot box, finds the blue candidate and shakes out his cross, pretty confident that this ex will mark the spot of the guy who knows the guy who will stop all this rot, and the previous decade plus is already forgot because of headlines loaded with scattergun shot that blast and lambast that other awful lot. Gets home to his room, puts another quid in the slot of the meter to fire the heater he'd rather have than have not, as a flash of cash makes stash on the offshore yacht, but that kind of thing bothers him not, because he's living out his own part of story. His whole family and history are and is Tory. So I live in Cromer, which is not a particularly nice place to drive around, and this is a poem about driving across Cromer Town to pick up my wife from work. I reverse out the driveway just in time to see my neighbour's wheelie bin disappearing underneath the rear wing of a school-run mum who has jumped the shark and backed herself down between some double-parked cars and blocked me in. Now this annoys me greatly, this being Furze Hill, a residential road no less. Anger subsiding, but my residual rudeness kicks in and I flip her off. I'll deal with that when I get back. I'm out at her driving off, watching rearview mirror as she starts kicking off. I filter onto Norwich Road in the nick of time with a scrape of bone and the squeal of toes under tyres as schoolyard crimes go by. Passenger window fogs, yellow buses clogged, the road, the air smogs with the ullage of uncorked Wi-Fi interchanges. BT got the signs out again. Cars backed up in lines again. I feel like Baggins at the beginning of his quest. It starts to rain. Another knot of traffic at the mini roundabout. Nobody indicating anything. Humour and manners disappearing. The radio playing. Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran. Adele. Ed Sheeran. Middle of the road. Middle of the radio waves. The sea is waving. Nobody's moving. I'll think about going home and starting over again. But it ain't looking great going the other way. And anyway, my wife is just finishing off her working day and I'm going to be late and there'll be hell to pay. So I just sit and stay and remain the same and act stressless. Just play this giant game of crosstown Tetris and try and get across town without getting too reckless. Things only get worse when the roads converge into the one-way system. Merge in turn, merge in turn. Don't you know how to merge in turn? The bloke didn't even say thank you in return. Oh well, never mind, lesson learned. Pedestrians are massing at the Pelican Crossing, cross the road, and some even cross back again, which suffice to say is gravely frustrating. I imagine my wife stood in the rain saying, "You're expletive late again." I imagine myself saying, "Back next time, get the train," knowing she won't. Another merge in turn, and brother, this time I don't bother. I just squirm past another old codger, ask forgiveness from the Holy Father. Get held at a red light before getting much further. This road system is like sadomasochism, but without the leather. There's no solidarity in a traffic jam when you're all in it together. I want to phone my wife to tell her that walking is much healthier and better, knowing I won't. There's congestion and aggravation at the petrol station, eyes dead straight on, just keep driving, keep my mind on manifesting my final destination. Only it ain't, because we gotta get back again, and she's lined up a supermarket situation. I lean on my horn in frustration, I shake my fist at this slow moving damnation, I reach for my CD of meditation and contemplation. Disc not recognised. This does not lead to the zen-like transcendence advertised. Stuck like night behind sunrise sky. Stuck behind roadworks with road workers on a high-vis skive. I remember a time when it was nice to drive and driving style wasn't compromised by grinding mile after grinding mile of mindful survival through single-file upheaval. I wish I were a daredevil may care like Evel Knievel and just launch and accept the applause from all the adoring people, but I'm not. And if the coast road exploded or corroded and eroded, would anyone notice us fall? Or are the caravans, minivans and cars Morse coded into an SOS sentence to be lamented by no one at all? I shake my brain clean of these apocalyptic daydreams, unleash a cathartic scream at the window screen, feeling carsick and green, spiteful and mean. The bloke behind me starts to vent spleen and I realise I've stalled. I arrive at my beloved wife's place of graft. Like a broken sailor clinging on to Medusa's raft, I don't want to be daft. I'm all out of fuss. Then next, the text message. You lazy bastard, I've got on the bus.